Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student in life, in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please, press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic in the news. I look at some interesting things in the news today. A new virus mutation, B1.1.529, the status of the vaccine mandate, black loyalty to the Democrat Democratic Party and the verdict in the Ahmaud Arbery trial. Tonight's show is will be on for an hour. I wanted to take time to briefly discuss a couple of things. First, these mutant variants. I'm getting tired of this. COVID this, COVID that, mutant this. You know, it seems like we never get out of this thing. Why are we witnessing these mutant variants? Are we witnessing the impact of ADE? It's by top definition, antibody-dependent enhancement, which occurs when the antibodies generated during an immune response recognize and bind to a pathogen, but they are unable to prevent infection, right? Instead, these antibodies act as a Trojan horse, allowing the pathogen to get into cells and exacerbate, make worse the immune system. So that's when you have something, you're building antibodies, right? It's with immune, that's an appropriate immune response anyway, when you build antibodies to a pathogen, which is a virus, the pathogen, right? So, you know, they say immune response is, or whatever causes that, is unable to prevent infection. These antibodies act like a Trojan horse. So that was some chop about antibody dependency enhancement, right? Dr. Malone, you guys, I've been mentioning him, bringing his name up. He's the creator of the mRNA delivery technique, right? So the government seems to be darkening or making obscure or confusing what is happening here. He said, it doesn't mean to sound to be alarmist, but what it seems to be rolling out is the worst case scenario where the vaccine in the waning phase, that's when it stops having its effectiveness, right? Stops doing what little that it does do, right? It's causing the virus to replicate more efficiently than it would otherwise. When asked about the effects of vaccination and on mutations of COVID-19, Malone stated that the mutation is another misleading set of statements from Dr. Fauci. Anyway, he said the escape mutants that are escaping vaccine selecting pressure are most likely developing in the people that have been vaccinated, not in the unvaccinated. He's saying that basically that mutations or variants are probably developing in the vaccinated because the process helps them do that, basically, just to make a long story short. It's funny he should say that. And here we are with another potentially deadly COVID-19 virus mutation. The vaccines turns vaccinated people into producers and distributors of a more infectious mutation of the virus. Let's hope that is not true. And if it is true, that by some miracle, we escape it for the most part, working toward ending this plague while praying for much needed truth and assistance. From the Associated Press. World races to contain new COVID threat. I don't even know if I'm saying it right. Omicron or B.1.1.529 variant. Right? Actually, I kind of combined the two sources on this here. So anyway. So the world Health Organization is calling this variant a highly transmissible virus of concern, right? It includes the predominant Delta variant, which is still a scourge driving higher cases of sickness and death in Europe and parts of the United States, right? I said that they talked about the sense of normal life is coming back, at least for the vaccinated. I don't know what that supposed to mean, since you have no vaccine that provides prevention from infection or immunity. That is a delusion. So I don't like when I see people writing stuff like that. A sense of normal life is coming back, at least for the vaccinated. Makes no sense. Anyway, Omicron's actual risks are not understood, but early evidence suggests it carries an increased risk of reinfection compared with other highly transmissible variants. The World Health Organization, the WHO, or the WHO said, right? That means people who contacted COVID-19 and recovered could be subject to catching it again. It could take weeks to allow to know if current vaccines are less effective against it, right? I don't think it would take weeks at all because it's not effective against the variants that we're already dealing with. So I don't think you got to be a pathologist to figure that out. In response, the variants discovery in Southern Africa, right? United States, Canada, Russia, and a host of other countries joined the European Union in restricting travel for visitors from that region where the variant brought on a fresh surge of infections. So they've seen a surge of coronavirus infections in the southern part of Africa, right? White House said it restricted travel from South Africa. These countries, all the countries did that, right? The WHO warned against overreaction before the variant was thoroughly studied. That's interesting. But a jittery world feared the worst after the tenacious virus triggered a pandemic that has killed more than 5 million people around the globe, right? This new virus has been in travelers to Belgium, Hong Kong, and Israel, as well as South Africa. There was no immediate indication whether the variant causes more severe disease. Up to the point of this article, I guess. So they say that previous variants like the beta variant initially concerned scientists but did not spread very far. Fear of more pandemic-induced economic turmoil caused stocks to tumble in Asia, Europe, and the United States. The Dow Jones Industrial Average briefly dropped more than 1,000 points. The S&P 500 index closed down at 2.3%, its worst day since February. The price of oil plunged about 13%. Well, that will make the wealthy panic. But that's what that sounds like, rich people not making as much money as they want to due to this virus. I guess that's a pandemic in itself. The EU Commission President said flights will have to be suspended until we have a clear understanding about the danger posed by this new variant, right? So everybody's trying to shut things down because of this new variant, right? Belgium. At one point, Dr. Fauci had said it was yet to be detected in the United States. That was on the 26th, an article written on the 26th. I found an article in the New York Post, and Dr. Fauci is saying the variant may already be in America. So brace yourselves, y'all. You know, because we got something, and we don't really know what it's going to do, but in terms of the degree of symptoms and hospitalization and death, but it's causing a surge of coronavirus infections in the southern part of Africa. So they didn't say death. They said infections, and they didn't say hospitalization. They didn't specify so far as the information that I have seen. So it seems that it's saying infections might mean that just that. I don't know. I don't have boots on the ground. But I know one thing, you can always do your own research. Biden said the new variant was a great concern that should make clearer than ever why this pandemic will not end until we have global vaccinations. So I thought to myself, what kind of science is that a vaccine that does not provide protection from infection or immunity can eradicate any disease? Any protection lasts in 3 months to 6 months. It's not much protection, considering other vaccines do not require a three month or 6 months boost. The new virus is a new mutation that may be resistant to whatever little protection we already had. The pandemic will not end until you have immunity at a very high level. You have immunity at a very high level, but Biden should know that. We have never had immunity to the COVID-19 virus. So I think Biden's people need to check it. So if you're talking about immunity, and we don't even have anything to produce immunity in terms of a so-called vaccine or gene therapy, which they use. So as Dr. Parks acknowledged, that the COVID immunizations, while mitigating symptoms, they make the symptoms, they help reduce symptoms and hospitalizations and deaths. They do not prevent transmission to others. Same thing, Ms. Rochelle Walensky of the Center for Disease and Control, we know as the CDC, right? They talked about people, fully vaccinated people who get a COVID-19 breakthrough infection can spread the virus to others even if they are not symptomatic. You don't have to be sick, appear to be sick at all. You could be carrying a viral load that could infect people. So that kind of speaks to vaccinated people being carriers. So does the pandemic come to an end if the virus is still infecting both vaccinated and unvaccinated? If the variant is deadlier than Delta, we're dead meat because the Delta variant hasn't been stopped. In fact, no variant has been stopped. Could that be because we are relying on a so-called vaccine or gene therapy that does not stop the virus? If we cannot stop the virus by immunizing against the virus, we should be prepared to treat it. From Newsweek, Dr. Eric Fiegel-Ding, an epidemiologist and senior fellow at the Federation of American Scientists, the FAS. Got a lot of acronyms here. The new virus, the new Omicron variant of COVID-19 may be around 500% more infectious than the Delta variant. That's what he said. 500% more. That's just like go outside. Somebody had it out there. You catch it. What's that, airborne or something? What's that mean? It's you're in the same room with somebody. You get it. It's 500%. I can't imagine that. The new virus is thought to have 32 mutations in its spike protein and is feared to be able to go by vaccines and immunity gain from being infected before. And I guess they're talking about natural immunity. He also noted that the new variant has more than doubled the number of bad spike mutations, so compared with the highly transmittable Delta variant. So not only but that, but another one, he said the C12 variant also seems to be slowly growing and displacing Delta 2 in South Africa. Wow. So even the less protection from this mutation and have less protection from this mutation, and that is less than no protection from infection and no immunity, and who knows, maybe no reduction in symptoms, hospitalization, and death from this new virus. It was two of them, really, but they seem to be worried about this one right now. Unfortunately, we'll see. You know, that's all we can say. It seems like we could be suffering from incompetent leadership as much as incompetent science. And they say insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. Are they insane, or is this virus trying to do what someone wants it to do? I'm trying to understand what's going on here. From the Citizens Journal, the CDC No, I'm not even getting into that. That changed the definition of love. We're not even going there. That's it. It's not that deep because we know the routine here. Unfortunately, they're closing. They're trying to close and shut down travel. And after the African Centers for Disease Control Prevention discouraged any travel bans on countries, it said past experience shows such travel bans have not yielded a meaningful outcome. U.S. restrictions will apply to visitors from South Africa. The U.K. banned flights from South Africa. Canada banned earlier entry of all foreigners who had traveled to South Africa. You get my drift, right? Japan has not yet opened up its foreign nationals. Russia announced travel restrictions effective Sunday. Sounds more like a campaign for the vaccine rollout since there is no data on how deadly the new mutation is. Borders are not closed, were not closed for Delta, a known mutation said to be responsible for the current spike in infection, hospitalization, and death. I'm confused. Why didn't they close the borders for Delta? We've been in this pandemic long enough to have developed alternative methods of treating this virus. And by alternative, I mean something other than the mRNA or spike protein solution. By now, the world should be armed with other ways of dealing with this virus, especially since there is nothing that prevents infection or provides immunity. The vaccinated are ending up in hospitals too. So what is the problem here? Why aren't we making the adjustment? You know, like a boxer, he's in the ring. He's fighting something. All of a sudden, what he's used is not working. He has to adjust. That's how he's surviving. That's how you're, same thing at war. You got to adjust. Why are we not able to make adjustments to this situation? What is the problem? Then they talk about this, C-37, the Lambda variant was first discovered in Peru in November 2020, right? Now this thing, they found that Lambda variant contains three mutations on its spike protein that make it more infectious than the original virus. Two other mutations on its spike protein make it about 150% more resistant to antibodies produced by vaccines. So, okay, there's no immunity produced by the vaccine. So that's confusing to me. I don't get it. You know, maybe it's a little bit of protection that you get from the antibodies, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, the World Health Organization classified Lambda variant as a variant of interest. It's like when the cops is looking for you, and you're a person of interest, right? Anyway, and I spent a little more time on that than I wanted to. So that's the story about the new variant. I just want to give everybody a heads up. You know, do your research, look after yourselves, and, you know, do what you need to do to keep yourselves safe because that's two variants, actually. One's in Peru, and they wouldn't be talking about it unless it was on its way here. Because we do a lot of intercontinental, inter-country traveling and all that good stuff. The United States is full of everybody. So look out. That's the only thing I can say about that. Take care of yourself. Educate yourself. And do what you can, right? I'm going to go on to Biden's vaccine mandate after the court challenge from the New York Post, right? I don't know. I didn't hear anything on Main Street News, but I don't really watch it that much. So then me not hearing it don't really mean that much, I guess. Basically, the vaccine mandate prompted legal challenges from over two dozen state attorneys generals, as well as from religious and business groups. Now, you know the vaccine mandate that Biden put out about companies, businesses with 100 or more people. You have to get vaccinated or take the test, COVID test, was it every 2 weeks, every week or something like that? If you don't, basically you can lose your job if you don't do it, you know. But it's supposed to be basically you take the test, If you don't, you got to get tested every week, which is stupid because anybody can have COVID. You need to test everybody if you're trying to identify the virus. So that's a stupid thing to say, and it makes you make Biden's whole purpose look suspicious because you only basically all you're doing is trying to get the unvaccinated. You're not looking for a virus because you're not even going to check the vaccinated people to see if they are contagious, which is stupid, incompetent. Anyway. Let me see. They said the OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, that's OSHA, right? Suspended enforcement of Biden's administration's sweeping COVID-19 vaccine mandate for large companies after a federal appeals court upheld a decision to pause it last week, right? Let me see what the date on this is. Date on this is November the 18th. So some folks took this to court. Now, I know a lot of Republican guys going taking this, you know, back at representatives taking this to court also. So while OSHA remains confident in its authority to protect workers in emergencies, OSHA has suspended activities related to the implementation and enforcement of the emergency temporary standard pending future development in the litigation and what happens in court, right? They're waiting to see what happens in court, right? Biden announced a mandate in September to draft the workplace rules that implement the order, which would mandate that every company with 100 or more employees either require that they get COVID-19 vaccine or get tested weekly, right, and with face masks. Companies that fail to comply will face $14,000 fine for every infraction. So if you got 100 people, go figure, right? According to OSHA rules, which were set to take in effect January 4th, before the courts got involved, right? Court stopped it, right? Last week, three-member panel of the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans cited grave statutory and constitutional concerns in upholding the stay on implementation of the mandate. The appeals court initially issued an emergency stay on enforcement of the rules on November 6th before affirming that decision last week. So this is my question. Shouldn't so-called government representatives, entities, and agencies know the law? Don't they have the responsibility to obey the laws of this country? If our constitutional rights have been violated by the Biden administration, what legal action can be taken against the Biden administration? After all, they threaten to ultimately throw families on the street. What can we do? Take food out of the mouths of children. Create more unemployment, which will increase crime and ultimately decimate the quality of life for individuals and their families who refuse to get the jab. And it's going to impact on people who are vaccinated, all this unemployment. I say that was a direct and treasonous attack on the citizens of the not-so-United States of America. Where are the Democrats who oppose the legality of the Biden administration's vaccine mandate? Because I remember everybody complaining about how the Republicans just went along with each other. No matter what, all of them voted together. This happened. I think Nick might have stepped out of the fold on once. Somebody stepped out. But basically, they was complaining about how the Republicans, they're not really acting as a political entity in the interest of the people of the United States, acting as a they're the Republicans, and whatever we say or don't want or don't say or don't agree with, we're not going to vote on it as a group. Well, here we have Democrats doing the same thing with this mandate, because I haven't heard of any Democrat going against this here thing. Maybe they have. I could be wrong. Biden received the majority of the black vote, right? And it's bid for the presidency, right? And recognized that blacks had his back and stated he had their backs also. With 70% of blacks being unvaccinated, Biden's mandate disproportionately impacts on his black voters and supporters whose backs just feel like an axe has been plunged into it by now. I don't know if they, if you black voters, how y'all feeling? You voted for Biden because I don't know what you voted for him for. Maybe because he was on vice president with the black president. So you thought he was a nice guy. And he, you know, had your back. Black demographics. Why are black people so, that just runs into why black people are so dedicated to the Democratic Party. And, you know, had this conversation with a friend of mine. He was beating me over the head over this whole Joe Biden thing, Republican, Democrat thing. And, you know, so I just looked up this, you know, black demographics, right? From black demographics, some of the black party affiliations. The African Americans have historically in both major political have a history in both major political parties of the United States. Of course, right? After the Civil War, almost all blacks considered themselves Republicans, right? Abe Lincoln was Republican. They got supposed to have freed the slaves, right? So are you gonna like them dudes better than you like the dudes that was beating you and raping you and doing all that kind of stuff, right? Making you work, right? It was the Republican Party that was started by the abolitionists, and of course, the party of the President Abraham Lincoln. Meanwhile, Southern Democrats strongly opposed any rights to blacks at the time and for almost a century thereafter. Why wouldn't they? They was the slaves, right? All right, so they would do that, right? African Americans were not even allowed to officially attend the Democratic Convention until 1924, right? Things began to change during the Great Depression of the 1930s when Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal, Franklin D, right? The New Deal program helped disadvantaged and minority communities find work. This persuaded 71% of the African Americans to vote for a Democrat president, even though only 44% considered themselves to be members of the Democratic Party. I don't know if you see where I'm getting here, but this is what my friend was getting to me about. You got to vote for who's helping you out. So in 1948, the Democratic Harry Truman ordered desegregation of the military in addition to an executive order affecting racial discrimination of federal employment, securing much of the black vote for the election later that year. During this time, 50% of African Americans were now Democrats. See, as we see, the more the Democrats did for the black people, the more black people voted for them, even if they weren't Democrats. It was an association of civil rights legislation with J.F. Kennedy and Lyndon Baines Johnson, right? Everybody knows John Kennedy, right? And that's solidified black loyalty to the Democratic Party for good. JFK proposed and LBJ signed the Civil Rights Act of 1964. I think JFK had been meeting with Martin Luther King a lot about that, him and his brother, Robert. They signed the Civil Rights Act of 1964 with outlaw public discrimination. LBJ's Republican opponent, Barry Goldwater, opposed it, garnering Johnson 94% of the black vote. Now, this other 6% must have didn't vote at all, but because I'm back then, black folks, was openly being treated bad. That year, which was a record until 2008, Johnson later signed the 1965 Voting Rights Act, right? By this time, the majority of blacks had become Democrats. By 2016, only 8% of African Americans considered themselves Republicans, although 88% of the African Americans voted for Democrat Hillary Clinton in 2016. Only 70% considered themselves Democrats. See that? It's interesting. Over the last 40 years, black Americans have consistently voted overwhelmingly for the Democratic presidential candidate. The most votes any Republican candidate received from blacks since 1968 was Gerald Ford, Oatmeal Man, right? In 1976, and he received 15%. I always thought it was that this beast had at least two heads, Democrat and Republican. A vote was simply a vote for the lesser of two evils. And it appears Biden has openly showed his fangs, taking a vicious bite out of the constitutional rights of not just black Americans, but all Americans with his get down or lay down ideology. Now, if you're from Philadelphia, you might remember that going on in the streets. Circuit Judge Kurt Englehart wrote, "The mandate is a one-size-fits-all sledgehammer that makes hardly any attempt to account for differences in workplaces and workers. The public interest is also served by maintaining our constitutional structure and maintaining the liberty of individuals to make intensely personal decisions according to their own conviction, even or perhaps particularly when those decisions frustrate government officials." Right? So you can't just break the law just to get what you want. It said it's about keeping people safe in the workplace. So what are we seeking? So what we're seeing is more businesses and school closures and more loss of jobs that keep us stuck in a pandemic that we're trying to end. This is from Karine Jean Perry, a White House press briefing. She said, "We're trying to get past this pandemic, and we know a way to do that is to get people vaccinated. So people should not wait. They should continue to move forward and make sure that they're getting their workplace vaccinated." I'm totally confused, but the vaccine does not stop infection nor provide immunity. Like the common cold, the virus will continue to infect people. Where is the treatment? Where is the preventive treatment? The absence of alternative treatments will contribute to the degree of severity of infection, hospitalizations, and death. Are they trying to save lives or make money? Of the two, billions of dollars have been made. So, why do black people, that was two in one right there, the mandate and why black people continue to vote the Democrat, because that was the double-edged sword right there, the mandate due to 70% of black folks not being registered voters, and Biden just saying get down or lay down to them. Not like they haven't heard anything like that before or been subjected to that type of thing as a people in this country. But hey, we thought we had moved farther than that. And this was the guy that black folks, I don't even know. I can't even say. I don't know if they thought he had their back or not. Or maybe most black people just do like I do, just vote for who they think is the lesser evil. But you might have made a mistake on this one, because this guy was ready to throw all Americans, black, white, Asian, Latino, to the streets if they don't get this vaccine. And that's not a solution, because you still have people who are not vaccinated, who don't have jobs, who lost their homes, which is, I guess that's good for the housing and the real estate industry, or the loan, the banks, and so they could just resell the house again, just keep flipping it, but that's bad for the citizens of this country. And that's not a good look for a president who is supposed to have black folks back. Last but not least, I'm going to move on to Ahmaud Arbery from The Guardian. There was a verdict. Three white men found guilty of murdering black man as he jogged. Okay, well, if you commit a crime, you found guilty, what is the issue? What is the big deal about that? Because it happens every day. People murder people every day. Why is this such an issue? Right? Ahmaud Arbery was shot on February 23rd, 2020, in a confrontation with Gregory and Travis McMichael. It took more than 2 months for the men to be arrested, along with their neighbor, what was his name, Rowdy somebody, who filmed the death of the guy. He was videotaping it, right? So the lawyers for the Mr. Aubrey's family have called his death a modern-day lynching. Seems like it. Looks like it. It's on videotape. You can see it on YouTube. The Michaels argue that they were defending themselves while trying to make a citizen's arrest. Question is, a citizen's arrest for what crime? Jogging while black? This title, Ahmaud Arbery verdict, three white men found guilty of murdering black man as he jogged. That title, right? Is indicative of how far black people have come in America when dealing with the criminal justice system, how deadly an encounter can be when interacting with a particular type of white person. It's a big deal when three white men in Georgia are actually convicted of murdering a 25-year-old unarmed Ahmaud Arbery as he jogged on a Georgia road. I think his road was like 2 miles away from his house. The news is that three white men were actually convicted of murdering a black man in Georgia, though rightly so. These guys were not so much as handcuffed on the scene of the crime. Many have been handcuffed for much less. From CNN, the former Brunswick District Attorney Jackie Johnson has been indicted on charges of violating her oath as a public officer and obstructing a police officer. Johnson was arrested and released on a $10,000 bond, according to the sheriff, right? Both charges are in connection with Johnson's alleged actions surrounding the investigation of the fatal shooting of Arbery while he was jogging through a Glynn County subdivision on February 23rd, right? 2020. Michael and his son, Travis Michael, and a neighbor, William Bryan, right? They call him Rowdy something. William Bryan, that's the guy that took filmed it, actually, have been charged with murder, right? All three pleaded not guilty. During the virtual press conference, Wanda Cooper Jones, Arbery's murder, said that Johnson should serve time in jail. And there is time in jail to be served. Johnson, on the day of the shooting, prevented two Glynn County police officers from exercising their duty by directing that Travis McMichael should not be placed under arrest contrary to the laws of said state, the good order, peace, and dignity thereof, the indictment said. Johnson also is accused of violating her district attorney oath by showing favor and affection to Greg McMichael during the investigation, right? She has repeatedly denied any wrongdoing and defended her actions. I ain't do nothing wrong, right? She ain't do nothing wrong. The charge of violating the oath of public officer is a felony that carries a sentence of up to 1 to 5 years in prison. The charge of obstruction and hindering a law enforcement officer is a misdemeanor that carries up to 12 months. We'll sit and we'll wait and see if this lady gets any real time. Not probation, not sentence of... get any real time for that, right? We can get this public officer behind bars for her crimes against the people of Georgia, in particular, the family of Ahmaud Arbery. That would send a message and would set a precedent for prosecutors. The indictment additionally states that Johnson sought the assistance of Waycross Judicial Circuit District Attorney George E. Barnhill, and after recusing herself, alleged recommended Barnhill take over as the prosecutor without disclosing she had sought his assistance about the case. Johnson recused herself from the Arbery probe shortly after the shooting, citing McMichael's 20-year tenure as an investigator with the Brunswick District Attorney's Office. Barnhill later recused himself, citing connection to one of the defendants. Greg had called her up. Gregory McNichol had called up Johnson, asking for help. Can you call me as soon as possible? My inaudible cuss word, and I've been involved in a shooting, and I need some advice right away. Could you please call me as soon as you possibly can? Thanks, bye. It appears that Jackie gave Gregory and company more than advice. She tried to give them a free pass or a license to kill. The family was left in the dark for months after the shooting. What that means is that what this means for them is the first is a signaling of other prosecutors that if you're not forthcoming with the evidence, if they somehow participate or put their finger on the scale of justice, tilt it in the direction of the people that they want to tilt it to, regardless of the evidence, they can be face consequences themselves. Nobody has faced anything yet. All right? Okay. Next, say Travis McMichael, Greg McMichael, father and son, right? William, Rhodey, Brian, all face possibility of life imprisonment. And I thought to myself, the possibility of life imprisonment. And I thought, all this in the 2020, not in the 1820, not in 1920, 2020. And as for the possibility of spending their life in prison, that would be the least of what could actually happen based on their crimes and ages of the members of this lynch mob. Georgia should be afraid to have these guys on the street. They should be afraid to walk down a Georgia street. The jurors found Travis McMichael and his father, Greg McMichael, on nearly all counts, including felony murder. I think it was 9 counts, capping off the intense trial for Ahmaud Arbery, right? Jurors also found William Rhodey Bryan, who filmed it, right, and also helped run corral Arbery with his, I don't think he had a truck or something, so that they could catch him, you know, in between the two vehicles. They were charged with 9 counts, right? The jurors, 12 jurors, and one who was black. That's why that headline was that written that way, because, whoa, what's going to happen? 11 to 1, right? Everybody was wondering, what's going to happen? Is that the setup or what? What's happening? What's going on, right? So that's, you know, George Michael, right? Talking about he spotted Arbery hauling ass by his house and called for his son, right? The pair grabbed their guns and hope and hopped in pickup trucks. Brian soon joined the chase in his pickup truck. They alleged they recognized Arbery. They spotted on a surveillance inside a neighbor's house that was under construction, which I don't know if you guys know. I don't want to get to the whole story. A whole lot of people would need to check out that house. This day, Ahmaud was jogging, right? Stole nothing. They ain't going after the white folks either. They're just going after this brother who jogs through the neighborhood. There was no evidence he ever stole anything from the neighbor's home. Even if he did, what are you chasing him with shotguns? What could he, if he stole a hammer from there, you're going to chase this guy down the street with guns? Really? Think that's appropriate? Travis Mike testified that he tried to talk to Arbery, whom he recognized as surveillance footage, right? But he kept running. Yeah. White guys in Georgia with guns. Why would you stop for that? Why would any black guy stop for that? Prosecutor Linda Dunning-Koski told jurors that the men pursued Arbery for 5 minutes as Greg McMichael threatened, "Stop or I'll blow your effing head off." He left that part out conveniently. As they tried to trap him with the trucks, right? Arbery darted to the right side of the vehicle, then turned left toward Travis McMichael, but came over there, right? Watch the video because I don't want to get into it. The main point here is that Travis McMichael flashed his shotgun, Aubrey rushing him. The two tussled over the weapon before Travis McMichael opened fire three times at close range, striking Aubrey twice in the torso and killing him, right? Rhodey, Brian, filmed part of the encounter on his cell phone. Travis McMichael testified that he acted in self-defense, opening fire only after Aubrey, unarmed, attacked him and grabbed for his gun. He ran over there towards this man trying to run around him with the gun. Anyway, watch the video. I don't have video, and you guys should know the story if you're familiar. Anyway, no one was charged with killing until Brian's video was made public and the Georgia Bureau of Investigation took over the case from local police. All right? This time, they seem to have gotten it right. Guilty, 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 guilty. I guess some of us were holding on to our seats as 11 white jurors and one black juror decided the fate of this modern-day lynch mob. You could take race out of the equation and still convict these guys. Now they have maliciously taken the life of this young man, sentencing him to pay the ultimate price for looking at a construction site and jogging death. What will the court sentence this trio to? That's the question. Since Ahmaud Arbery will never jog on a Georgia road again, neither should this murderous trio. Life in prison for death on a street in Georgia seems like a consolation door prize. Georgia does have a death penalty, and this is a heinous crime. Now, what were these guys charged with? Malice murder, right? Causing a person's death with deliberate intention, without considerable provocation, without the person trying to do anything to you. This man jogging down the street trying to get away from you, right? Punishable by death, right? Or life imprisonment without possibility of parole, right? Felony murder, death caused committing another felony, right? Which they are doing, right? All the felonies are listed in counts 6 through 9 of the indictment. One count of felony murder is linked to each. So, count 6, aggravated assault, right? Assault using a deadly weapon. Charges the 3 men to attack Aubrey with a 12-gauge shotgun, right? Punishable by imprisonment of 1 to 20 years. I'm running out of time. Aggravated assault. Right? Assault using an object, right? Court charges the 2 pickup trucks to assault Aubrey, right? False imprisonment, same thing. Using their pickup truck to chase, confine, and detain, right? Criminal attempt to commit a felony, right? Acting which constitutes a substantial step toward the intentional commission of a crime. In this case, the false imprisonment charged in count 8. Defendant can be convicted of either completing or a particular crime, or of attempting it, right? It looks like these guys are committing murder with many aggravated circumstances, which is one of the requirements for the death penalty in Georgia. Why would the court only be looking at the possibility of life imprisonment? If they're doing that, because I don't have boots on the ground, and I got that information secondhand. But if they are only looking at life imprisonment, they are already cutting these guys a break. Because Georgia, before 1976, carried out 950 executions, the fourth highest number of any state. From the Atlanta Georgia Journal Constitution, there are currently 50 men and women awaiting execution on Georgia's death row, right? There are 3 crimes in Georgia that are punishable by death: treason, aircraft hijacking, and murder with one of the aggravating circumstances listed below. Right? They got the offender had a prior capital conviction. Offender was in the process of committing another capital crime, aggravated battery, burglary, or arson. All right? So the offender used or possessed a weapon or device capable of causing significant harm to more than one person simultaneously. I mean, you really want to look at it, a truck, you can run over five people with a truck. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to look at it like that, a shotgun can cause significant harm to more than one person also. Or pump shotgun, actually shot three times, right? The offender committed the offense for monetary gain, and it didn't happen. So I guess the point I'm making out is that there are aggravated circumstances in this case. And they shouldn't just be looking at whether or not these guys are going to jail for the rest of their lives. Their ages alone, they're going to spend the rest of their life in jail just based on their age. The question is the death penalty. Do they qualify for the death penalty, and should they get it, in my opinion? Because there's no question, the rest of their life is gone. They're never going to get out of jail. Just based on their age, they'd have to be 10 years old for the possibility to even get out of jail. You understand what I'm saying? But in this case, these guys are not young guys. They're not kids. These aren't juveniles. So anyway, I just wanted to just briefly go over those four circumstances. You know, I know I didn't do them justice in terms of the whole case. I don't want to go through the COVID thing because I'm sick of it. And maybe I get back to it later on as more developments of this new thing comes up. But sick of COVID, and no pun intended. Just seems like we just keep going on through the same type of Larry Curry-like type stuff with that. You know, so I'm going to encourage everybody, do your own research. Don't be afraid to question what you think you know, what you think somebody else think they know. Don't be afraid of that. And until next week, y'all, each one reach one, each one teach one, and be safe out there. And I mean that. Peace out.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. Not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose.
The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.